Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. We're going to go ahead and get started with our Bible study lesson for tonight. We'll ask everybody to meet us in two passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you, Father God, in the mighty name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. God, we're just grateful today, Lord God, for so many reasons, Lord God. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We thank you for being God. We thank you for being sovereign. We thank you for being omnipotent, O God, omniscient and omnipresent. We thank you for being holy. We thank you for your everlasting and eternal love. Heavenly Father, your tender mercy, O God, loving kindness towards us, which is better than life. We thank you, O God, just for loving us all the way to the cross, giving your life, O God, as a ransom. Heavenly Father, for our wretched lives, O God, we thank you, Lord God, for salvation today and deliverance. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're living on the inside of us, O God, so much better than we can on our own. Heavenly Father, we just ask right now, Father God, that you would have your way in this Bible study. Holy Spirit, lead us in your word. Lead us to revelation and illumination of your word. Lead us, O God, Heavenly Father, to a place of deliverance and edification, O God. Magnify thyself in us. Manifest thyself through us, O God. You, Lord God, your life be lifted up and glorified in us. Beautify us, O God, with your life right now, O God. We pray, activate something in us through your word, Lord God, to make us look that much more like you, that you might be glorified. Have your way. Crucify me even now. Heavenly Father, even, Lord God, in whatever this preparation is, O God. Heavenly Father, lack of preparation, O God, we pray that you speak right through it. Crucify me right now. Have your way. Lord God, bless us in this time. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 So our focus text is Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. And we're also going to take a look at Philippians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Amen. 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 So let's read. Actually, I want to ask, we got Sister Kizzy and Brother Doug here. If Kizzy would not mind reading 8, 28 and 29 in Romans. Mm-hmm.
And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen. And then, Doug, if you would not mind reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, please.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you.
Amen. Amen. And what we really want to deal with today is just God working, living in the purpose of God. Living in the purpose of God, and really talk about what that really means. And it's funny, Pastor Wright has said something to me the other night about potentially doing Bible study tonight. And I was praying this morning, and the Lord brought these two passages of scripture to me as I was praying. And I never really looked at how congruent they are how the relational aspect between these two verses until this morning when I was praying about them, to see God's purpose, right, in it, but also seeing how God works through his purpose and how he causes and allows things in our lives that actually we oftentimes might see as bad or negative or challenging, but he's really using those things to bring us to the place of purpose, to bring us where he wants us to be. And not purpose like, you know, people singing about in songs in church and talking about, to get people pumped up, you know, my way to my destiny and all this other stuff where we think it's money and all these things on earth. And the reality of the matter is this earth can't serve the purpose of God. Don't get me wrong. God can leverage the world system as a tool. We'll talk about some of that to get us to where he wants us to be. But in terms of satisfying the purpose of God and meeting the purpose of God, man, there's nothing in this world but the lust of the what?
Flesh.
The lust of the what?
Yeah.
And the pride of life. Mm-hmm. And these things are not of God. And they're going to all pass away is what he tells us in John, right? And so we've got to know that God has a specific purpose for his church. He has a very specific purpose for his church. And he has a road to get us to that place and to that purpose. And these two passages of scripture deal with that very thing. And I never really looked at it that way until I was praying this morning. So before we turn there, before we go to the focus text, let's really quickly, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3. Nope, not Ephesians. Colossians. Nope, Ephesians. Lord, help me. Ephesians chapter 1, I think it is. Yep, it is. Ephesians chapter 1, which really can serve as a backdrop for what we're going to talk about and something that we've got to know as believers, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse, let's start at verse 10, verses 10 and 11, right? Paul says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, meaning the manifestation of the life of Christ, right? And the fulfillment of what he did on the cross, and how that moves forward from the time that he said it is finished all the way through to the time where he comes back. He's talking about, right, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, right, he might gather together in one what?
All things
where?
In Christ.
His life. Listen, this is where we're going. And listen, you heard Pastor Wright talk about it on Sunday. He says God has set what? Eternity in the hearts of his children. Do you know that eternity for us started the minute we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? So many people waiting for Christ to come back. I can't wait for you to come back. I'm going to get along for as long as I can in this life until he come back, and we walk around struggling with our heads down low, just suffering in this world, suffering in the things of this world, walking around doom and gloom, coronavirus come and everybody done lost all hope, feeling all helpless. But we've got to know eternity started the minute we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because it's at that point in time where Christ came to live on the inside of us and the glory of God. You know, that's the glory of God. What did he say in Ephesians, in Colossians chapter 1, 27, right? And I'm going to get back here, I promise. 127, and we've read this a million times, to whom God would make known what is the what? Riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ where? Christ in you and me, the what? The hope of glory. God's, the glory of God It's in the life of Christ, living in the inside of his children. That's why I said it in my prayer. He's beautifying us with his presence. He's making us glory. Listen, he is our glory and we are his glory. It's the fellowship that we share between us and Christ Jesus. That's the glory of God from the beginning of time. When he said, let us make man in our own image, he was talking about in his glorious image. And he fulfilled it when he went to the cross and died and substituted himself on the cross, that he might substitute himself for us in this life through him living on the inside of us. Eternity started for us. The second we confess, we just got to know it by faith. We've got to know by faith that we are the glory of God. We are the apple of his eye. We are his prized possession. We've got the perfect, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God living on the inside of us, all of God and all of Christ. All of Christ in us makes us meet when he talks about that he has translated us. In Colossians chapter 1, somewhere around 12, 13, somewhere around there, translated us to the kingdom of God. That it's through the life of Christ living on the inside of us. He's made us meet for the kingdom of God. He's qualified us. And he's living on the inside of us. So he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. And I ain't got time to go there, but if you write it down, Colossians chapter 1, right, Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through, let's just read it. Verses 19 through 21. Listen, when he says that in what we just read, right, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. He's saying the same thing in Colossians chapter 1, right, when he talks about starting at verse 19, where it says, for it pleased the Father that in him, in who?
In
Jesus, right? Him should all what? Fullness dwell. Listen, in having made peace, having reconciled all things, right? How did he make peace? How did he reconcile? Through what? Through the blood of his cross, by him, by who?
Christ.
To reconcile all things unto who? So now, and so when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, he's letting us know, I am the means, I am the end, I am the way, I am the destination. He says, to reconcile all things unto himself by himself. So he didn't say, I use something else to bring you to me, or I use myself to bring you to a certain destination. But when he says, I use myself to bring you to myself, he is the fulfillment of every single thing. All things were made by him. All things were made for him. He reconciled all things back to himself by himself. He is the means and he is the way. He's the means and he's the end. All things. Christ is the fulfillment of all things. And guess what, y'all? This is what this is. He's trying to get us there to himself. We're going to get there. So he says, continuing in that verse 20 in first chapter of Colossians, right? All things unto himself, by himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And what did we just read? What did we just read in Ephesians? In Ephesians 1, I turn from it.
Is that 19, I think?
I think so. 10, 11. 10. He says, all things, listen, this is Ephesians 1, 10. All things in Christ, both which where? Are in heaven, mm-hmm. and which are on earth, even where? Even in him. And look at what he said. All things unto himself, by himself, I say, whether they be things where? In earth or things in heaven, because he wants to let us know every single thing. Right? He's called, because guess what? When the Bible says, right? In the beginning, right? He created everything. What did he do? He spoke. What did he speak?
The word.
The word. Who is the word?
Christ.
Christ. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing. Absolutely nothing but God and Christ and the Holy Ghost. And then what did he do? He opened his mouth and he presented forth his word. And everything came into existence. Amen. So when it comes time that he comes to fulfill, he talks about in the dispensation of the fullness of time, where Christ has come to fulfill all things, in order to bring all those things, to reconcile all those things back to himself, he could only do that because those things were from him in the first place. Mm-hmm. Those things were made of him, by him, through the spoken word of God, which is Jesus Christ. That's why only Christ could redeem it. That's why only Christ could redeem all those things, because all those things are of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. But listen, this is why we have to glorify God. This is why we have to surrender and should not mind dying for the dying to self, because he makes a distinction, right? Look, he says, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That's everything. Ain't that everything?
Nope.
That's everything, right? Whether it be in earth or heaven, that includes everything, right? But see, he could have just stopped there. But look at what he said. What's the next two words he said? And what? And you. And you who what? That were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he. He made it a point to call us out. Mm-hmm. Not negatively. He's saying, out of all the things I created, and I'm bringing all those things back, reconciling all those things back to myself. I have a very specific and intentional focus on us, his children, mankind. Listen, what he's saying is, I create the firmament, the oceans, the seas, the land, the fish, the animals, all these creatures, all these things I created, but there was one in particular that I am most fond of. And it's me and you. So if it wasn't for us, I don't think he wouldn't have went to the cross. He would have let this world burn. He said, okay. He would have said later, snapped his finger, and it would have been no more. Just as easy as he created everything, he could have snapped his finger and said, it's done. But because of you and me, because out of everything he created, he said, let us make man in our own image. He was intentional about you and me. That's the reason why we should, listen, it don't matter. We ought to get lost in the love of Christ, because when he could have and he should have thrown us away, instead what he decided to do was love us and rescue us. Amen. And we did not deserve. That's the grace of God. That's the love of Christ. That ought to compel us and convince us to serve. That's why Paul said the love of Christ constrains us, mm-hmm. that we thus judge. If one died for all, then we're all dead. That's why. Because of the love of Christ. And this is what he's explaining. He's letting us know, right? He's called us unto himself. So going back to that Ephesians. Going back to Ephesians 1. right? In that verse 10, I mean, now on to verse 11, he says, listen, and this is where I wanted to get to, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Remember that word. According to the what? Purpose of him being pre. Listen, this is us. This is his children being predestinated unto the purpose of him, right? Who works all things after the counsel of his will, of his own will. Mm-hmm. Remember that. He works all things. What does all mean?
All.
All. Everything. Everything after what? What we want.
His own will.
You sure? After what the president want?
No.
No? After what Black Lives Matter want?
No.
Oh, no? Oh, you might have deleted that part, huh? What? What? No. After his, listen, God has a very deliberate and explicit will, and he says he works all things, everything, after the counsel of his own will. Circle it, highlight it, put a line under it. I'm going to read it again. Being predestinated, you and me, predestinated, purposed, predestinated according to the purpose of you.
No.
Of the purpose of him who works, makes it happen. He makes things happen. Who works all things after the counsel of his own will. We got to remember that, y'all. We got to remember that. And the Lord reminded me of that earlier this week when I was praying. Right? That I'm on my knees. My time on my knees ain't about me running a litany or a list of things that I want to happen. No. Prayer is for a time of lining up. Lining up with the will of God. Because God is only going to do what he's predestined in the first place. God is not going to change what he's already predestinated from the beginning of time, throughout the end of the time. He ain't going to change his will. We can't move God off of his spot. Not one bit. We've got to line up with what God has, when he said it is finished, it's finished. We got to line up with what God has already predetermined. Now, somebody from the outside who don't know Christ would say, well, that ain't fair. But they don't understand the love of God. They don't understand the fact that God wants better for me than he wants for ourselves.
Amen. That's right.
Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly, what? Below?
Above.
Equal to?
You can ask what then?
A little bit over?
Mm-mm.
Above what we could ever ask or think. God, God's intention towards us, listen, what you want for yourself don't hold a candle to what God wants for us. That's why we can trust him. That's why we can submit to his will. That's why we can surrender to the sovereignty of God. That's why we should be willing to die to self and trust God with the path forward for our lives. Because he loves us that much.
Yeah.
So listen, that's what he's saying, right? So when we go back to our focus text here in Romans and we see what God is saying, he says, and we know that all things, and in some other version it says God causes all things, right? But we've got to know, because that's about our faith, and we know, because some of us don't know, right? Sometimes I don't know, right? But we've got to know. We know that all things work together. So let's stop there. All things. What does all things include? Huh? Say it again. Everything, right? Because I want to make sure we get this straight, that all things include everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to read that, right? And we say all things work for our good. All things work for our good. But before we get to working for our good, those all things include the good and the bad. Mm. The good things that happen.
Yes.
The bad things that happen. Yep. And not just circumstantial things. The bad decisions that we've made. Along with the right decisions that... See, this is the grace of God. Where God can take your good and my good, but God can also take my bad and your bad, and he'll take all those things, right? He makes provision. God has made provision for the mistakes that we made. And that's what we're talking about a couple months back when we were dealing with our warfare. And we talk about that 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Pastor Wright's been dealing with it lately too. And he says, in bringing every thought captive to the what? Obedience of Jesus Christ, right? That, and having a readiness to what? Revenge what?
All
disobedience when what?
Our obedience
is fulfilled. In other words, he stands ready to roll back his reproach of us when we line up. This is what this verse is also saying. God causes all things. He causes even the disobedience from the past when we make up our minds and our hearts to line up and obey him. He'll take the bad. He'll take the good. He'll boil it all up together. And it may not feel comfortable at the time, but he will allow the good and the bad to work together towards our good. Towards our good. That's what he means when he says God, and we know, but we've got to know that just because it don't look good right now, right? God is doing something. If we're ready to line up according to his will, he's ready to do something. And we get so impatient sometimes with him. I'm speaking to myself, right? Because I've been dealing, I've been talking about it, dealing with stuff on the job, stuff like that. But God has encouraged me. Even in my prayer, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you in the valley.
That's right.
I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. And if you hold my hand, you won't suffer. We dealt with it maybe a month back, right? Right? We talk about suffering, right? And we talk about suffering in vain. When we suffer without Christ,
tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And we go through tribulation without Christ, we suffer in vain. When we go through tribulation with Christ, we're suffering for his glory. That's why he can say, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time
can't be compared.
Are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed where?
In us.
That's where we're going. In us. We've got to know. Remember what we talked about, the purpose of God. The glory of God is God's life in us, right? So look at what he says. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his what?
Purpose.
All right. Before we get to the purpose part, let's address some things, right? All things work together for the good to them that what? First what?
Love God.
First what?
Love God.
First, love God. Prerequisite. We must be in love with this God. You know that? We must be in love with this God. We've got to be in love with this God. And listen, it's not about an ultimatum. Like, oh, you don't love me. That's not how God is. God loves us unconditionally. Mm-hmm. That, to them that love him, has nothing to do with he's sitting up in heaven arrogantly looking down, talking about, oh, you don't love me. I ain't worried about it. No, God loves us. The love of God, there ain't nothing we can do. He loves us and ain't nothing we can do about it. That will never end. That, the reason why he says to them that love him, because if you're not in love, you will not endure. If we are not in love, we will not endure hardship. We'll only look for the good. And when things get bad, we'll walk away. So many people who have emotionally received Christ Jesus, been in church, heard an emotional service, ran to the altar out of emotion. So many people have run to the altar, and the enemy could not wait for them to send some stuff their way. And because it wasn't good, they have left the church, and you ain't seen hide nor hair of them ever again. So many people have walked away from the church. And notice, I say have walked away from the church. I didn't say walk away from Christ, because once you truly come in contact with the love of Christ, you can't walk away.
Right.
You might stray for a little bit, yep. But you better believe that love is going to find you.
Yep.
Right? And that's what happened. So he said to them that love him, because we've got, and the thing is, we fall victim to our own mess. And we blame God. And we walk away from God. Right? But God is letting us know all things will work out for those that love me. Mm-hmm. Because of this love relationship. You're going to hold on. That's why Paul could say what Paul say later on in Romans. He said, I let nothing separate me from the love of God. That's what he means when say to them that love him. Because they're not going to run away when things get tough. They're not going to walk out. Well, y'all, listen, we've got to be steadfast. We've got to be unmovable. Always abounding in the works of the Lord. We've got to be steadfast in the love of Christ.
Yes.
Deep planted firmly. It don't matter. COVID, don't matter. Racism, don't matter. White House, don't matter. If you know that you're loved, and you love him. He says to them that love him. And then the other reason why he says to them that love him, because if you don't love him, you ain't going to like his purpose. That's why he says to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because if you don't love him, you ain't going to like his purpose. Or you might like his purpose, but you ain't going to like the road to getting where he wants and needs us to be. Let's talk about that in our last 15, 20 minutes here, right? He says, for whom he did what?
Foreknow.
What does it mean to foreknow?
Before.
To know beforehand, right? To have a foreknowledge of, to predestine, right? He foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate. What's another word for predestinate? We've said it a million times.
Purpose.
Purpose. He's explaining his purpose. He is explaining the purpose that he called out in the verse beforehand to those who are called according to his purpose. Period. Then he goes on to explain his purpose. For them he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what?
To be conformed,
right? To what? To be conformed
to
the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And listen, we ain't got a problem with the latter part of that verse. Oh, I don't mind. I want to look like Jesus. I want to be in the number, right? I want to be made in the image of his son. But the part we skip over and don't really realize that the most important part or the key word in that text is what word? The C word.
Conform.
Conform. What does conform mean? There are many words for it. Transform. Change. Right?
Uh-huh.
Shaped. Molded. Listen, God is letting us know there's a process or a road to his purpose. His purpose for every single one of us is the exact same purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He foreknew all his children. He predestinated them for one thing, that we would be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is the road. We talked about his purpose is his life. Him replace, listen, it goes back First of all, it goes back to the beginning of time. It goes back to when he first created us. Listen, he said the same thing. He said, let us do what? Let us make man in our own image. Right? In our own likeness. Right? That was his purpose from the beginning. Right? And he's been working that purpose. He's been working that purpose ever since. You know that? See, the problem is many of us read that and we'd be like, all right, well, we were like Christ. And then Adam messed up. No, we weren't. Well, we were, because God speaks over all eternity. One time. God is not lived. God is not bound by time. When God speaks, like I'm speaking right now at 7:46, 45, right? On, what's the day? Wednesday night, September 23rd, 2020. Right now, I'm speaking in this moment. God, the word transcends time, because the time is subject to the word, who is Christ. So when he spoke, he wasn't speaking in that moment. He was speaking over all of existence and eternity. When God spoke at that moment, he was speaking in this moment. When God spoke in that moment, he was speaking in 20 years from now if he ain't come back by then. He speaks over all of eternity because he sits. He's omnipresent. He sits above all of existence. God is not bound by space or time or any of that. He's over all those things. So when he said, let us make man in our own image, he was speaking over all of time. Which means when he said it, he had the cross in mind. He had what Christ was going to do in mind. That's why Peter could say, we've not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, which he foreordained before the foundation of, he foreordained. He predestined Christ would rescue us before he created us. Because he's omniscient, he's an omnipresent God. So when he says, let us make man in our own image, he wasn't speaking in a moment of time. He was speaking knowing that Adam was going to disobey. He was speaking knowing that the children of Israel was going to disobey. Right? Repeatedly. In Egypt. In the wilderness. In Canaan. Right? In Bristol, that's right. He knew we were going to need a Savior. So his goal from the beginning was to make us like Christ, and only Christ could fulfill that. That's why what we read earlier, when he says in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when Christ would reconcile and bring all things back to himself, by himself, God was speaking with that moment in mind.
Amen.
He was speaking with all of that in mind to bring us back to himself, and he still brings. And so when he went to the cross, he took our place. But guess what, y'all? It don't stop there. That was just the beginning. He took our place on the cross so that he could take our place in life. See, too many of us have left him up there. Oh, Jesus put himself in my place. We sing the song. He put himself in our place. He took the punishment, took the pain. Yes, he did. But guess what? His aim was not just to take our place on the cross. His aim was to take our place in this life, to live this life through us. That's the purpose of God. The purpose of God is to live instead of us. And that's quite wonderful, if you ask me. Because what I'm faced with every single day is the reality of the fact that I can't handle this life in my own strength. As much as I try, can't do it. Struggle to do it. That's why I'm my own worst enemy. Put myself through too much trying to handle some stuff on my own until God reminds me that I've got to submit. And that's where he wants to get us. He's getting us towards this purpose where he's conforming us and shaping us in the likeness of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's his purpose, right? But that whole conforming thing, that's the thing, right? So let's go ahead over. In our last 10, 12 minutes here to Colossians. I'm sorry, not Colossians. To 2 Corinthians chapter 4. With everything that we just talked about in mind, remembering what God's purpose is. Remembering that God causes some things to work together. God causes all things. What are all things? What did we say all things were?
Everything.
And what's in that everything? A little bit of good, a little bit, maybe a whole lot of bad, right? Mm-hmm. Right? In this world, we see a whole lot of bad, right? And look at what he says here in four, verse seven. He says, but we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, yes, in us, that the what? Excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Remember what his purpose is. His purpose was to substitute us, take our place on the cross, take our place in life, substitute us, live this life through us. That's his goal, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren, right? To conform us to the likeness of Christ, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's telling us, he's restating the purpose. What did we say in Colossians 1, 27? Christ in us, right? What was that? The excellency? Nope. Yep. The inheritance, the riches of that inheritance, right? Might be revealed in the Gentiles. I'm paraphrasing. What? Christ
in you, the hope of glory.
In us. Uh-huh. The hope of glory. Right? He's restating. But we have this what? He refers to it in Colossians 1, the riches of that inheritance. Mm-hmm. Right here, he calls it the treasure. Where? In both those texts, where are they? In us, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of that power, of the power may be of God and not of us. He's establishing the glory, the inheritance, the treasure, the life. God in us, Christ in us, right? But see, in the same thing that he's referring to in Romans, right? He's getting to next. He's saying to us, in order for that glory, because we got to understand, y'all, God's glory, right? Wonderful thing. His life in us. But is it meant to just be in us? Is it? No. It's meant. Let your light so shine. Right? That men might see. Your good works. And do what? Glorify you.
Glorify the Father.
Glorify your Father. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? That glory, the peace, the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the validation. Right? The authority, everything that comes, the deity that comes with Christ's life in us, right? It's not just meant for us. That's the whole purpose of us being conformed to the likeness of Christ. It's not just about, that's why we say it all the time. Many people have accepted Jesus Christ and are saved, but they're only living half the story. They're only living half the purpose. That is really, and you really can't if you're truly saved. Because that's not the full purpose of God. If that was the case, soon as he saved us, he would have took us. But he left us. Why? So that somebody else might see God's glory. That to live is Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? To die is gain. Paul said, for your sake. Right? Listen, The glory of God must be revealed for somebody else. So the purpose of God, him substituting himself on the cross, that we might be saved. Him substituting himself in our lives so that somebody else might be saved. The process of the glory of God must be fulfilled. Not might be fulfilled. Not by chance will it be fulfilled. It must be fulfilled. We must be conformed to the likeness of Christ. If not, there is no witness. None. Us inviting somebody to church is not a witness. People must see the life of Christ lived through us. Somebody got to see forgiveness. Somebody's got to see unconditional love. That's what saved us. God didn't come down and say, oh, come on, go to church and get saved. What did he do? He died. He died. And what did that dying allow for our redemption? So what do you think we got to do? We got to die. Why? So that people don't see us. Because if people see me, they ain't coming to Christ. I'll tell you that right now. Ask my wife. But if I'm willing to die to self, like he died for us, guess what? People will see Christ. Because guess what? Then I ain't got to forgive. He's forgiven through me. I ain't got to love unconditionally. He's loving unconditionally through me. That's the love of Christ. He's going to do what we can't do for ourselves. And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying, you have a treasure in earthen vessels, the glory of God, the life of Christ, living on the inside of you. I need to unleash it. I need it to be manifest so that the excellency of that power is not of you. It ain't you trying to yield your measly old power and authority. It's Christ's authority being revealed. But in order for that to happen, there's some conforming that has to take place. So look at God. Look at what he says. In order for the excellency or the glory of God to be revealed so that somebody else could see the life of Christ, look at what he says. Therefore, he didn't say therefore, I said that. He says, we are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted, and we are cast down. Well, why? Because he's reflecting on Gideon. He's reflecting on what happened when they had to take the king. That how they snuck up on whatever the ites it was they was coming to get, they were fighting at that time, right? And they had their lamps hidden. And what they had to do was they had to crack the lamps open in order, once they got up on the enemy, so that the light could be revealed so they could take them by surprise and conquer them. So he's making reference when he talks about this treasure in earthen vessels, because he's letting us know in order for that treasure to be revealed, the earthen vessel has to be cracked. It has to be opened. And so in order for that clay to be cracked open, it's got to endure what? Pressure. It's got to endure pressure. Listen, if I've got a mound of clay, well, no, let's not even take it. You know, I used to love, what was those little lollipops called? And the owl used to eat them. The Tootsie Pop. I used to love Tootsie Pop. I hated the outer part. I loved the inner part. Right? But I didn't have enough patience, just like on the commercial. They said, well, if you just suck it long enough, you'll get down to the soft, chewy core, right? I was impatient and greedy. I would just get my Tootsie Pop. I wouldn't even lick it. I would just bite it. Right? And crack it open so I could get to the core, to the center. But in order for me to get to the core of sin, I had to crack it open. In order for the treasure or the glory to be revealed, the earthen vessel has to be cracked open. Therefore, God allows trouble on every side. God allows us to be perplexed. God allows us to be, he allows us to be distressed. He allows us to be persecuted. And he allows us to be cast down so that that treasure in us can be revealed. So that the glory, the light of the life of Christ, because if you look earlier in that text, what does he say? In verse 3, listen. He says, but if our God be what? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are what? They're lost, right? In whom the God of this world has done what, y'all? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, the unsaved, lest the what? Light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should do what?
Shine on them.
In order for that light to shine, that treasure has got to be revealed. In order for that treasure to be revealed, the earthen vessel has got to be cracked open. In order for the earthen vessel to be cracked open, there's got to be pressure. So there's going to be trouble on every side. There's going to be distress. There's going to be persecution, and you're going to be cast down. Because if not, the glory of God will never be revealed. And that's what he talks about. We're going to get to the other part, but look at what he says. He says, always bearing about in the body, the what, y'all?
Dying
of the Lord Jesus. What'd he say? He says, that's the conforming. Mm-hmm. In Romans 8, when he talks about for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. That's the process of us being conformed, dying so that Christ's life might live. He's saying the same thing here. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. For what purpose? That the what? That the life of Jesus might be made manifest. In order for Christ's life to be revealed, we got to get out the way. We've got to die. And then he says, if that was not good enough, he says, if that is not good enough, he says, for we which live are always being delivered unto death. Just to make it known.
Yep.
Just so that we know that is God behind it. He's putting us out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be glorified. He's putting us out there. So that his life could be met. Because if he don't put us, we ain't going voluntarily. Who says that? Oh yeah. Here I go, Lord. I'm ready to, I volunteer to go run towards this tribulation. No, he says, always being delivered. He got to nudge us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes he nudges us, he reminds us by how much he loves us. Sometimes some stuff just got to come our way. Believe me, I know it, right? Mm-hmm. Always being delivered unto what?
Unto death.
Unto death for what?
For
Jesus' sake, his life's sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made what? In our mortal flesh. Listen. So then death worketh in us, but what?
Life in somebody else.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way. That's why I said we've been predestinated to be conformed. That's the only way. God is bringing us to that place. But the good news is, now we can go back to verse 8. He's perfectly protecting us, right? Though he's conforming us and shaping us, we don't have to suffer in vain. we can suffer and have perfect peace. If we suffer with him. That's why he says trouble on every side, but not what?
Distressed.
Perplexed, but not in despair. Mm-hmm. Persecuted. This is the promise of God, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Yes, you will go through those things. Yes, mm-hmm. you will be in the valley. But if you know that I'm with you in the valley,
right.
and you get your focus, your hope, and your attention on me, the trial, the tribulation will not come nigh thee. Many of us are feeling the brunt, including myself, many times, and the stress of the trial because we've got our eyes fixed on the trial. We've got our eyes fixed on the situation, and we don't have our eyes fixed on Christ and the hope of what Christ said, that he causes all things to work together for our good. But if we love him, we'll trust and know. And this is my prayer, that God gets this in our mind and yours, our spirit, to know that what we're going through, what we're dealing with, serves a greater purpose. And it's working out for our good. And even while we go through it, it does not have to come nigh us. If we get our focus off of the thing and get our focus on Jesus Christ, that's why he starts this verse by saying, and we know, because we've got to know it by faith. I got to know it by faith. Our hope, that's why he says. That's why he says we can rejoice in tribulation. Why? Tribulation, work with patience, work with experience, work with hope. That hope makes us not ashamed, or that hope will never disappoint us, meaning God is faithful. Why? Because the love of Christ, because the love of Christ is shed abroad. Our hearts are broken to the love of Christ. The love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We got to know it. We got to know. We got to know that God is working. He's working his purpose. He's working it. We've got to trust him even in the midst of our shaping and our conforming. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God for his word. And the promises of God. And let that be our prayer, y'all. Because I know we all going through something. Everybody. You can't live in this world is a trip. Right? We all dealing with something. There's always something. But let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged to know that God works the good and the bad towards his purpose. He's working it out. And let's get our eyes fixed and our hearts fixed and focused on him. To know that we can come out of that thing unscathed. To know that it does not have to come nigh thee. To know that we're not suffering in vain, but Christ's life is being revealed. Even to those who are persecuting us. If we get our eyes focused on him, he's going to reveal his life in the midst of that situation. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. And let's pray that we just get that in our spirit. And God engrafts that very principle and point in every single one of our hearts. Amen. That's it.